Well, turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We're going to spend some time there today, both this morning and also this evening. I'll pray first, ask for God to guide us, and then we'll have a look there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you that we can put this day aside and worship you, think of you, be refreshed through your word. We know, Lord, during the week we have many things that of the world that come into our hearts and minds. Some are good, some are bad. And Lord, it is good to just come and be refreshed, have that washing through your word. And we ask that, Lord, your spirit will be the one who ministers to our hearts and minds this day. And that, Lord, it will be a day we can be encouraged because we've been in the house of the Lord and we've been with you and your people. And so we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you'd agree that in many countries around the world, the grandparents, elders, are held in high esteem and considered a very important fabric to their country. They're the ones full of wisdom and knowledge. They've been around a long time, and so they're considered as being important. Yet I do know that in Australia, in our culture, this isn't something that appears quite as much. You know, depending on where you've been and where you've grown up, oftentimes the elderly are considered a little bit of a nuisance. They can be in the way. They people that are holding back progress. And in many ways in Australia, the elderly aren't considered with that respect that they should. Now, even though our society in Australia would be like that, it certainly shouldn't be the case in our church or in any Christian church. God tells us a lot about the elderly and how they are to be respected in many ways. Yet I do know it is happening in churches where young people laugh at the music of the older ones, the dress of the older ones, the doctrine and stands of the older one, as though the older ones don't know very much. And it's the younger ones that have all the ideas, and their ideas are right, and the older ones aren't. And my fear is that as society forgets the importance of the older ones in our society and in our churches, the older ones may forget their importance as well. They might start to believe the attitudes of many. So if you're on that top end of the scale when it comes to age, right, I want you to understand that you are extremely important to the fabric of our culture and the fabric of our local church as well. And I know that even in our church, the young people get a lot of the attention. It's wonderful to see young people in our church, see them growing in the Lord and what God is doing in their life. But there is no doubt that if we want to have not just a good church, but a great church, well, then we need those of age to be doing what God wants them to do as well. You know, there's a lot of talk about how God wants young people to be this and do this and serve. And yes, they're the ones with all the energy. And so, yes, they get to serve a lot more. And there's a lot that is said about how young people should act. But God's word also tells us of how the aged should act as well. And so I thought today we would consider what God has to say in this for this age bracket, so to speak. What I find interesting is that when Paul tells Titus, his fellow servant and friend, to speak sound doctrine, he doesn't tell him to preach on things that we may think is sound doctrine, which is sound doctrine. We might be thinking, well, obviously Paul is going to tell Titus to preach about the Trinity, the deity of Christ, faith, salvation through faith in Christ and Him alone, and all those other things that we consider sound doctrine. But what we find is Paul doesn't mention any of these things, but he challenges Titus to teach the believers how they ought to live in everyday life. And what he does is he looks at every category in the church. He looks at the aged men and how they should act, then the aged women, how they should act, the young women and the young men, and then he looks at different, if you're a servant, how you should act, and if you're a master, how you should act. He looks at various aspects of everyday life and how you should live. And this is referred to as sound doctrine. And so today we're going to look at what God's Word says in regards to sound doctrine for aged men. And then this evening we're going to be looking at what He says for the aged women. Now, this does bring a very interesting question though. Who are the aged men and the aged women among us? All right. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if you think you're that as well. In many ways, it could depend on where you live, in what country, because every country has different expectations of how long you're going to live. For example, if you lived in South Africa, the average age expectancy of a man is 59 years old. So there you go. 59 is about as good as you're going to get in South Africa. You're probably going to get shot. That's why. You know, it's not very good over there. But that's probably the reason. Now, if you're a lady, you get to live to around about 64, all right, in South Africa. But in Australia, it's a lot different. The age expectancy for a man in Australia is 80 years old, and a lady is 84 years old. And so, when it comes to the aged, I suspect if you're in South Africa, well then, if you're in your 40s and 50s, you're one of the aged over there. Yet if you're here in Australia, I suspect it's up around the 60s and 70s, and 80s would be the aged. We know in God's Word that He said that the average age will be 70. And if you live after that, well, then that's by God's goodness and grace. And so it has to be before that. We know also when it came to the church, the instruction that Paul gave Timothy in the church looking after widows, that they are to be widows indeed, and that they weren't to look after a widow who was under 60. And so they can go off and still work. And so over 60 was considered someone that could be looked after, even in those days. And so I suspect if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and probably a little bit lower in the 50s as well, you're in the aged bracket. Now, I'm 52 or 3. I can't even remember now. 52. So, and I realized when I was reading over my notes how I vary. Sometimes I say you, and then sometimes I say we. All right? And so sometimes I'm thinking I'm in the age bracket, and then in the at times I think I'm not. So I'm just putting myself in there. All right, I've got the right color hair for it these days, and so well, I'm certainly getting there. So what does God say in regards to sound doctrine? Well, let's have a look at Titus chapter 2, and we read there in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And then he goes on to list a number of things. And the first category is in regards to the aged men. And the first thing God says is sound doctrine is that the aged men be sober. Now, that's not talking about alcohol and drunkenness or anything like that. This is to do with your attitude and your mind. The word sober means to be vigilant, watchful, or cautious, and not to be careless. I was thinking, you know, for example, just say it was wartime, let's say Vietnam, you go over there, you're walking through the jungle, you know the enemy's somewhere there. Well, the idea is to be sober-minded, that is, you're watchful. You're not just merrily walking around, not caring what's around you. You're not going to live very long, I suspect. But you're watchful and vigilant in doing so. And this is an important thing that's needed in local churches, because we are in a spiritual warfare, and there needs to be particularly those of the aged category who are certainly not flippant in their attitude towards things, but watchful and cautious. What sort of things should you be watchful for? Well, doctrine. There's so many new doctrines coming out. And aged men, you need to make sure that you are watchful looking over this church, that there is not the wrong doctrine slipping into this church. When it comes to the direction of the church, making sure that we're not led astray. When it comes to decisions that need to be made for this local church, you need to be watchful and cautious. You know, young men are often very quick to make decisions without thinking about the consequences. If you doubt me, go in their car today, see the decisions they make as they're driving, not considering the consequences, and then you'll be reaffirmed that sometimes young men can do that. They do things without looking to the what may be the possibilities of going wrong. And that can be the same when it comes to making decisions in a local church. Young men haven't seen the end results of decisions. And so they might think that this is a fantastic direction to go. This is an amazing way to have a worship service. This is amazing music to use. Or this activity is fantastic. And it may seem like a good idea, but they haven't seen the end result to individuals and also to a local church. But the age should be able to know what happens when you go that path. And so that's why there's a need for older men in the church to be watchful. It's good to have men that slow down decisions so that they're made properly and with consideration. You know, I can speak from experience. I find it very frustrating when people like to do things slowly. I know that's one of my problems, all right? I like things done quickly. I guess I haven't reached that aged men's mentality yet, all right? And so it can be frustrating where you think you have a great idea and then people just want to be slow about making a decision on it. What I have been learning over the years, and I'm still learning, is if something is a good idea, even if it takes time, it's still going to be a good idea, all right? And it just taking time to do something isn't going to hurt. And so those who are considered the young men here, although you may have the energy and the zeal and maybe the ones that are doing a lot more than others because they are of an aged bracket, make sure you don't underestimate their importance. Yes, they may not be doing all the work, but when they speak and say we should consider because they're watchful and they're vigilant, and I've seen where this goes in the past, and so this is not a good direction to go, that's what they're here for. And it's important. And so, when it comes to just having sober-minded aged men, it's important for every church to have that. Age men, if you're in that category, take up the challenge to be sober-minded in that way. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing, as he goes on, is to be grave. All right, grave. It's not a word we use too much today. Maybe grey, but not grave. All right. You're nearly in the grave. No. Sorry. Now, that's not what it's talking about. It's actually talking about being serious. Sorry. I'm feeling really bad about this whole lot. I think I'm failing them all, to be honest. But grave means to be serious and dignified. Now, I know that's not meaning you should walk around stone-faced, always frowning, never finding anything anything funny. You know, that's not what it's meaning. But there's nothing worse than older men acting like kids. And there's a difference. There comes a time when a man needs to put away childish things. And I'm suspecting that once you get into your 60s, it's starting to, you need to start to realize you shouldn't be acting like a child anymore. I know there's lots of little sayings that, you know, boys just never grow up. They just look older and all this sort of stuff. They're always kids on the inside, and to a degree that is true. But some older make the mistake of thinking that the way that they relate to teenagers is they need to act like teenagers. But the reality is that is not the case. Teenagers need someone to look up to and to respect and to follow. And if you're just as much of a goose, all right, if you want to call it like that, if you're just as much of a goose as the teenagers in the way that they act, they may find you funny, but probably they'll find you embarrassing, but they certainly won't look to you as someone to follow. And so there's a huge difference between being happy and jovial and being immature. And every church needs the older men to be mature in that way. So that's the second thing. Now, just as a side shoot, if you're a young man, you don't need to switch off, because this is what you need to be working on, all right? Because I'll give you a tip. You don't turn, well, not that I've turned 60, but let's say 50. You don't turn 50 and it all happens, all right? Oh, all of a sudden I'm feeling very sober-minded and I'm feeling very grave, all right? Or so on. It's a process of God working in your heart. But the next one is temperate. And that basically means self-controlled. Or another good one, way of referring to it, is staying within the boundaries of God's limits for us. You know, God has set boundaries as a Christian, and being someone who is temperate is being able to keep yourself within those boundaries, having that self-control. Paul talks about that in keeping yourself under, putting your body under the control of Christ. Otherwise, if he preaches to others, he then will become a castaway himself if he doesn't keep himself under control in that regard. And so God says that the aged men need to be an example of someone who is temperate. And that's good. We need it in local churches. I know one of the struggles young men have is to be self-controlled. Young men are generally impulsive and they act before they think. And even when they think, they still act usually the wrong way as well. All right? Self-control doesn't come easily to anyone. It certainly doesn't come easily to young men. And that's why often there is a need for boundaries and discipline to help them learn. But what can be a real help to young men is to see older men who have learned self-control through the help of God. What it does is it shows that it is possible, because I know as a young man I think, how can I ever be self-controlled in any way? It seemed to be impossible. Yet when you see how God does work and does help, you know it is possible. And also it gives young men someone to seek advice from to achieve self-control over the various passions and the impulses that plague young men. And God's word talks about all these things. So without having the aged men in a church who are temperate, what hope do the young men have of seeing what they need to be aiming for and allowing God to do? And young men, if you're struggling with self-control, and it may be in one area or various areas, if you know where God's boundaries are, but you know that you're always going over and you're not keeping yourself within God's boundaries, and you know you need help, well, that is why God puts old men here as well, aged men, so that you can go to them for help. Seek out advice. Seek advice and help to overcome those things. Because God says that no temptation has taken us as such as is common to man. And you can be sure that whatever struggles you're having, there are probably every man, or at least most men, have had to deal with those, and through God's help and strength, Lord willing, have overcome those things. And so, in a local church, we need aged men who are certainly these three things. As it says there, sober-minded, grave, and temperate. Now, as we go on, there are three other things that Paul says the aged men are to be. And he says that they are to be sound in these three things. Sound means to be healthy in these things. Every church needs aged men who are healthy when it comes to the area of faith, in the area of charity, and in the area of patience. And if you're an aged man, you may be struggling with your physical health, but what we can see here is we can be healthy in these things at least, because these are to do with the soul and the work of God in our heart. Let's look at these three. Firstly, we're to be healthy or sound in faith. Please never underestimate the importance of being an example of faith, where you have a sincere and genuine trust in the Lord God Almighty. That is so important for young people to see. Aged people who have learnt to trust the Lord. You see, when you're young, if you can remember back, and I certainly can, there are certain many decisions to make, and you think, oh, if I go this way and I do what God wants, can I trust Him? Is He going to do what He says? Is it going to be the best way? And you're not sure because you've never stepped out in faith very often. And so it's good to have those of the age bracket who have done that over and over and over and proven God to be faithful. And so you can go to them and they can say, look, this is the best way. I can guarantee it. I've seen those who haven't gone this way and look at their life. And look at those who have trusted God and stepped out in faith. And so those who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, who have seen prayers answered, sometimes it takes years, sometimes it only takes weeks. You need to be that example of faith for the younger ones. You know, that's why, you know, so often we love reading about, you know, men like George Mueller and the various missionaries, because we read their stories of how they came to those points in their life where they had to trust the Lord. And they did. And then we see through their life how God was faithful. And He proved Himself to be faithful. And then that encourages us to do the same thing. But the reality is the aged within a local church are meant to be our homegrown George Mueller's and William Carey's and so on. Well, you don't have to read a book. You can just go and talk to them and say, look, I'm not sure about this. Have you had this happen in your life? Or have you had to make decisions like this? Can God be trusted? And that can make the world a difference. You know, but being sound in faith isn't just having stories of the past. It also needs to be showing that I have proven God to be faithful in the past and I can trust Him, and so I can trust Him with what I'm facing now. And as aged, you have to face various things. A lot of it probably has to do with health and the loss of loved ones and so on as you get older. But these are the times where you can be that example of faith to the younger ones, where you can say, look at how they have trusted God. And they're still trusting Him. I want to be that sort of person. And so you grow in that way. You help the younger ones to do that. And can I encourage you to be on the lookout for maybe the younger ones who are struggling? They're starting to have doubts about God. And take the opportunity to be an encouragement to them. Say, look, I notice you going through this. I want you to know I went through that. And I chose to do this and trust God. And God is faithful. And be those examples of faith and encouragement of faith as well. We need aged men and women who are sound in faith. You know, I have said this before. I guess once you've been here for 14 years, you say a lot of things a few times. But I know my father, I only thought of it this morning. My father used to say to me years ago, Alan, I've seen a lot of people die, and good, godly people, but they don't die very well. I pray often, God, help me to die well and show that I trust you. And that Dad told me that while he was alive, and I can tell you, Dad died well. All right? And so he had a trust in the living God who he walked with on a daily basis for all those years. And it was seen in those dark days when he went through the valley of death as well. And that's what you want. You want to be able to have those examples. And if you're the aged, it's your turn to be the example of faith for the younger ones now. And you younger ones, you need to grow in the Lord so you get to that point where you're that example to the younger ones after you when it comes to faith in the Lord God of heaven. The other thing they are, we are, you are, whatever it is to be sound in, is in love. Now, there's not much I can say about love that you haven't heard already. But well, let me say this, and that is, if anyone should be an example of the love of Christ, it ought to be the aged. Not the teenagers, not the ones in the 20s and 30s, but the aged. Because you are the ones, we are the ones who have been having God transform us for years. Or we're meant to be. And we know that the two greatest commandments is to love God and to love one another. And so what do you think are the two major things that God is going to be doing a work in us if we allow Him? He's going to get us to be loving Him and loving each other. And if you've been saved for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and there isn't that love of God and of others in you, well, that shows you've been resisting the work of the Spirit of God in your life. You know, there is nothing sadder than older ones just being grumpy, miserable, angry, and not showing love. You know, when I grew up, a lot of you would know, my father was a pastor of church. It was called Beth Shan Holiness Mission, or when I was growing up, and across the road there was a retirement village. And my father was the pastor and also ran the entire retirement village as well. And this was a very unique retirement village because it was set up to help those who had been in full-time ministry to have somewhere to retire, because they generally didn't have very good retirement plans. And so there was a whole retirement village full of retired pastors and pastors' wives, missionaries, full-time workers. And you would think that that village was like a slice of heaven. No. It was not a slice of heaven. All right. Our church was made 80% of aged people. All right. Aged people, 80%, maybe 90%. I think it was only a couple of teenagers. And I tell you what, they were very grumpy people. And they were always angry with everyone. And they were always complaining about everyone and everything. And they were miserable all the time. There was very little love shown. In fact, as a young man, it made me mock older people. They're not very nice people. And these were missionaries and pastors who had meant to have had the work of God in their life for years. You know, I know the default setting for men particularly is to be grumpy. All right? We become grumpy old men. It is only going to be the work of God that changes that. But don't think, well, I'm old, so I can be grumpy. Because God says, no, because you're old, you need to be an example. You need to be sound. You need to be so healthy in showing love. That is showing kindness, forgiveness, care, help to others. So if you're in the aged bracket, well, then we're meant to be the example of what God can do after years of refining someone. How's it going? How's it looking? Because that's what it's meant to be. Years of refining. The workmanship of Christ. And this is it. A village full of grumpy people. Right? No, it should be a village full of love and loving people. One last one, and that is sound in patience. Oh, we're gone, aren't we? If we're not failing, you know, in faith, we're probably failing in love, and if we're not failing in those two, we're definitely failing in the patience side of things. You know, this patience is probably a little bit different to what we often think. Patience is, you know, hurry up, you know, get it done. All right, which I am very guilty of. But there is another type of patience, which is the sustained weight upon you. And I always use the example of the camel going across the desert. They're stacked up so high, the weight is bearing down, and if you could get into the mind of a camel, they're probably thinking, this is so heavy, it's so hot, why do I have to do this? I just want to throw all this off and run away. I'm guessing that's what they think. I'd be thinking that. All right. But the picture of patience is to bear under the load. And so there's a heavy load, temptation is just throw it off and run away, but you say, no, I'm going to stick it out for the long run. And I'm going to bear this load and endure it. And aged men, we're told, are to be healthy when it comes to this. So in what ways do you think we're going to have to be a picture of patience, and we need to be patient. I can think of three things. We're going to have to be patient with the young ones. You know, praise God, we have younger men, women, children, families. But, you know, that can get annoying because they can be very zealous without wisdom. Sometimes the learning takes a while. God needs the age to be patient with the younger ones as they learn. Boy, I'm so glad for the aged men when I was 21 who were very patient with me, all right? When I was learning the ropes of ministry and being within the local church and preaching, they were very patient. They roused on me a lot, but they were still patient. You know, also there are going to be times when the cares of a church are going to be heavy, and they're going to be trials within a church. And it's the aged men, the leaders, that need to be those that are willing to bear it. We need to be that example and be there for that. And you know, also as you age, there's going to be a need for patience in personal trials. We know the outward man will perish, but we're told the inward man is to be renewed day by day. And you need to be an example where you don't grumble and moan, but you are a blessing. And I know he's listening, probably, but if you can think of one man like that, that's a Mr. Nicholas. You ring him up to try and encourage him, and all he does is ask you about you. All right? All right. That's a picture of what we're talking about here in regards to patience. And so, in closing, what we see here is God needs aged men in this church. And if you are in the age bracket, don't think, I don't count, I'm not needed, I can just drift away and into the background and never be seen because there's all these people doing things. No, God says you have a very important part to play in a local church. An extremely important part. Imagine a church with no aged men, just young. It's open for a lot of problems. And so, you are to be that example of faith, charity, patience, being sober, temperate, grave. You're like the rudder that steers the church and keeps it on track, and keeps it away from danger. And so please be assured of the importance of your role to play. As I said at the beginning, the difference between a good church and a great church is when the aged men and women are doing what they ought to do. I trust you're doing it. If not, could you start? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, you have expectations of us in every season of life. And Lord, for those that you grant long life to, they get to experience every season. What a blessing that is. Yet, Lord, I pray that we will be faithful in each one of those seasons. If we're a child, or a young man, young woman, or an aged man, or an aged woman, that, Lord, we will be faithful to you and bring glory to you in our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.